I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lore cast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm In7 the Legend.
And I'm Genesis. Join us
as we explore along tides of light
and through shoals of dust
to see where this lore began
and consider where it may go.
Spectres, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. I'm your host, In7 the Legend. Joining me, as always, is the wonderful Genesis. And Genesis, we match today. We're both wearing burgundy shirts. At least yours looks burgundy.
It is burgundy. I actually picked this up from the men's aisle because I liked the way that it fit.
Okay. Target? Was it Target? Because I got this shirt at Target.
No, I mean, it could be from Target. I got this at Goodwill, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Goodwill has some hidden gems sometimes. I have actually found some computer parts there before. But that's not what... Well, this isn't the Goodwill lore cast, although now I am interested in the lore of Goodwill. But I will have to check that out on my own time. Today, we are talking about perhaps Earth's biggest political scandal in the Mass Effect universe.
And that's why I hate politicians.
So, as I will play that sound effect multiple times today while talking about this, because this is like, I don't know, Genesis, you know, I read through this as well, and I had read through it once before about the president of the United Nations, or I'm sorry, what is it? UNAS, it's the United North American States, that's right. Christopher Huerta, who Huerta Memorial Hospital is named after. I had read this scandal about him, and I feel wrong calling it a scandal because it's not like anything bad that he did. So anyway, we'll get into it. But the controversy here and the vitriol that comes of it, feel eerily close to home with political scandals.
Yeah, it does. I also do want to learn more about how, you know, the North American states has expanded. And so I think that that would be really good, interesting lore to get into in the future.
It would be. And in fact, I was thinking along those same exact lines because I wanted some tidbits to throw in tonight. And unfortunately, I don't think that we really have any details about what preceded the Canada, Mexico, and the United States forming. I know that basically space travel accelerated the conglomeration of political nation states on Earth as a general thing, but the specific circumstances about what was going on the continent and maybe the health of the dollar, the health of other currencies, we don't know. So I just want to throw that out there to begin with. This episode, though, is going to be a lot more narrow focus on President Huerta and this controversy that came about when the president's own legitimacy and authority were challenged because he was technically dead. Bwong. Reaper Foghorn. So without further ado, let's get into it. We hear about the story again from Cerberus Daily News. So if none of this sounds familiar, that's why, you know, if you didn't pay attention to these. So I'll kick us off here and say the dispatch starts with the nations of Earth are in suspense tonight as the Systems Alliance hears Ford versus Huerta, the first case of a human leader using reconstructive data storage to prolong his brain functions and stay physically capable to perform his duties. And first of all, this is, I know we talked about the formation of the UNAS. This is going on in 2185 during Mass Effect 2. So, goes on to say that the Speaker of the House, Lisa Ford, has led the charge against Huerta, saying that the last year of his term was illegitimate. Interesting. Why would it be illegitimate? Because a stroke left the president legally dead, and in cryocool for an hour and a half before his brain functions were fully transferred to a computer. I don't think that the presidential line of succession in the UNAS accounted for the possibility that someone would be dead and then uploaded to a computer. And so are they technically alive? And that's kind of like the heart of this. I'm watching also, by the way, as Maya's tail flicks everywhere in your face right now.
Oh, yeah. I am absolutely loving my cat right now.
Definitely not going to hear a window open and then I won't say anything.
I also think that it's interesting that the transferring a brain function to a computer. Where have we heard this scenario before?
Yeah, right. I wonder if a certain organization stepped in and said, we can help out here, because perhaps Huerta was sympathetic to their cause. So it goes on and says the amount of memory degradation was never fully revealed. Okay, so that then gets into an ethical discussion about who are we? You know, are you just you because of how you physically, your physical makeup? Is that what makes you you? Or is it your memories? And I think it's memories, largely. I'd say, in my opinion, maybe 10% of us is because we are who we are because of our physical traits. But everything else was shaped by how we were raised and, you know, the experiences that we had and that kind of thing. You know, like physically, right? Let's say I was taken, you know, from my family when I was like 1 day old and I was raised on the opposite side of the globe in a completely different culture. I would be a different person. Like, I wouldn't be me. So the fact that the White House, or not the White House, because it's not the U.S. anymore, but the United North American States government does not want to reveal how much the president's memory degraded. That's kind of a big deal.
It really is, because, you know, what if some of the your personality is formed through your experiences, through the things, through your memories. And if part of why people liked him, why they voted for him to become president, has now been drastically changed, that might not be the same person that we voted for.
Yeah. And so I'm sure a lot of our listeners can understand why, if you heard the pre-show chat, I was talking about how this one hits a little bit eerily close to home. It's also at the same time completely standard operating procedure for executive branches of governments to conceal health problems of current executives. For example, during World War II, FDR had polio, and he got to a point where he could not stand on his own. And there were actual like props propping him up at a lectern toward the end of his presidency when he was giving speeches. It was considered very bad taste if any of the members of the press were to snag a glimpse of him in a wheelchair and take that photo of him in a wheelchair. There was a lot of protocol around how the president was perceived in public, to the extent that I think it was President Obama who was the first president who was largely okay being photographed while eating.
Okay.
I think it was general rule of thumb for the press anyway to not publish photos of the president eating, because A, you didn't want to get on the president's bad side for something so trivial, and B, that actually not being seen eating is a very ancient practice that there's evidence that like Mayan rulers never wanted to be seen eating because they were thought to be gods, right? And why does a god need to eat? So anyway, that's a very ancient practice that leaders would not want to be seen as being fully human. And so it's a problem when those kinds of things could be in the way of that leader governing, right? And for Huerta here, if there was a lot of memory degradation, that could really hamper his ability to lead the UNAS.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
So we don't know how much, if any, memory degradation was gone. I mean, this could be 100% a computer AI that thinks it is Huerta governing. But Ford, Lisa Ford, the Speaker of the House, is third in line in succession if the UNAS is anything like the U.S. government, where the U.S. government presidential line of succession states that, you know, if the president is incapacitated or gone for some reason, then the vice president steps in temporarily, if not permanently, permanently being until the next election. And if the same happens to the vice president, the Speaker of the House steps in. So Lisa Ford presumably would have been third in line to the presidency. And we get this detail from Cerberus Daily News. It says, according to the UNAS's line of succession, if Huerta was considered dead, then power would transfer to the vice president and Speaker Ford would have held the position of vice president for the last year. So just to wrap up, the Speaker of the House is leading this lawsuit against against President Huerta. It's not like a Speaker Ford has nothing to gain here. Like, there's certainly, you know, a very clear conflict of interest. It's not like this is a pure legal battle.
Right. There's definitely more to this involved because Speaker Ford has a lot to gain from it to become not just Speaker of the House, but now have that vice president seat. And, you know, we don't know who the current vice president is. And so, but they might also be pushing for this because you would want to be president, right?
They could. However, if they were a member of the same political party, that would kind of be political suicide.
Yeah.
You know, the party would never support you after that.
True.
At least it wouldn't really be a good idea to, because then, you know, if the same thing happens to them, you know. There's a very, this is a medical situation turned political scandal because, and I imagine it is roiling every chamber of government in the United Nations or United North American States, that there is, because it's the chief executive who was legally dead. And there's a lot of opaque details surrounding how he, if he even still does exist, became digitized.
Yeah, and that's where it gets so tricky, because if we say that being a person is, you know, our memories, our thoughts, and all of our emotions, and that was transferred to a computer, and then that data was transferred back into the body, are we still the same person? If there was no degradation, are we still the same person?
And the other thing is, like, you know, critics could always point to and say, hey, voters didn't vote for that.
True.
You know, yeah. Like if this had happened before the election and then the voters still voted for that, okay, fine. That's what people wanted. Right. But this was kind of done, like, what was it? Do we know how far into his term it happened? I don't think so.
Saying that his last year of his term was illegitimate.
So. Okay. Yeah. So this happened. We don't know how long the terms are, right? But presumably 4 years. So served the majority of his term. And obviously sounds like not running for a re-election. We would know by this point, right? Last year of a term. Suspiciously quiet, the vice president is. So I wonder if we're going to get any other further details about that. Jen, you want to take us to the next part, next chapter of this saga that we get?
Yeah, we are now bringing it towards more of the actual legal court case, and petitioner's witness testifies in Ford v. Huerta. Expert witnesses were introduced today in the Systems Alliance trial of Ford versus Huerta, starting with the petitioner's side. Dr. Samuel Wachus testified today that President Huerta was brain dead for too long to make a full recovery. questioned on Huerta's apparent cognitive health afterward, Waukes testified that the VI ran Huerta's artificial memory so successfully that it took over his brain functions so that, quote, there was no Huerta anymore. This is not a person with a VI memory. It is a VI with a partially organic operating system. And it concludes, the respondents' experts will begin testimony tomorrow.
So just to clear this up, this is a witness for Ford's side. This is this is a witness that they brought in. Obviously, they're not going to bring in a witness that's going to say something that would hurt their case.
Right.
So they probably vetted a few doctors, found one that agreed, right? But what's missing here is Dr. Waukes's direct tie to the medical case, right? Was he in the operating room? I don't think so. It doesn't sound like it. Was he given all of the private medical records of the president? These are, you know, questions that might come under scrutiny when Dr. Waukes is inevitably cross-examined.
I would agree, but I also, in order to testify on a case, you have to have either expert knowledge in the situation or be the one that was present. So maybe not the surgeon, but maybe the person who was his neurologist, the one who was taking care of him afterwards.
Right. Yeah. If Dr. Waukes is Huerta's neurologist, absolutely. I think they need to lead with that to establish credibility. The fact that we haven't seen that tells me that this is just perhaps a neurologist, not Dr. Huerta's neurologist. But yeah, credibility of Dr. Waukes is kind of, if I'm a juror or if I am the magistrate hearing this case, right? Perhaps I am wondering why Dr. Waukes as opposed to another doctor, right? But that's just me kind of being as scrutinizing as I can right now. If Dr. Waukes, what Dr. Waukes said is true, that medically, Huerta was gone for too long to have made a full recovery, that it's medically impossible, that's a huge deal.
Mm-hmm. It is, because if you were brain dead, you were gone, you were out, that's when, you know, your family makes the decision to take you off of life support and you pass. But with this, we also don't know who made the decision. Was it in Huerta's will that he wanted to be passed on to a VI? Was it, you know, his wife or his spouse or family members? Or was it the government and the doctors going, you know, we recently learned about all of this new VI technology and going into a virtual alien headspace because of the virtual aliens that we've recently met, because it's right there within the same time frame. Let's try it out on a human and see if we can transfer a consciousness to the computer and then upload it back into the same body.
If it was the decision of political operatives or people who were serving alongside the president in the executive branch, it would make sense considering that the prerogative is to keep the president alive no matter what, right? Mm-hmm. That's their prerogative. If they were offered this alternative, they would probably say, do it. You know, we're not going to wait and consider the ramifications, you know, while time is wasting, keep him alive now. You know, and deal with the aftermath later, right? Because if you're in the room and you have to make that call, you're all like, the prerogative is to keep the president alive, right? Don't think about it, just do it. So I can only imagine how difficult that was. From a humane point of view, obviously it should be the family. Like, it should be the family and whoever was in President Huerta's will. We don't know. We don't know that. It could also be a political operative looking to take advantage of the situation. Because as we know, politics is full of wolves.
And that's why I hate politicians.
Damn right, Ash. So, very interesting legal questions being asked, you know, basically being asked to define when someone is alive. Are they alive? If even if their memories were all 100% intact, completely, you know, untampered with, and they were transferred flawlessly to a computer, is that computer now that person? Right. A lot of ethical and legal questions being thrown out. And even if they are the same person, is the fact that they had died, does that void their status in office? Right. Because every government has a line of succession for its executives. And if we're going to say that, well, being dead doesn't necessarily, you know, take you out of office, then it's going to throw lines of succession like haywire everywhere, right? There could be a lot of unintended legal consequences from this, depending on how the court rules. Now, with that, I want to go to the mid-break because that's a lot that we just talked about to digest. But we've got some fun stuff to get into in the mid-break, some lighthearted stuff, and we'll come back with more political scandal. Okay, here we go.
We have beef, we have bacon, we have beer, the foods of my people.
Young men have funny ideas of what Asari are like. I blame the extranet and computer games.
Rex?
Shepard?
Grunt?
Shepard.
Rex? Grunt?
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where we read out your five-star reviews. And Genesis, looks like we got a new one. Would you like to do the honors?
Sure. We have from Apple Podcasts, from Red Can't Fly, titled, I couldn't think of an interesting title. I feel that. I feel that so much. It goes, hi there. I started listening to this podcast in October of 2025 and am finally caught up. This podcast has helped me get through many long days at my manufacturing job, and I'm very grateful to N7 Legend and Genesis for continuing to make quality content like this. Big thanks to Tom as well for those early days. I actually started playing the trilogy for the first time ever in July of 2025, and the game hit everything I like in sci-fi and in RPGs, as well as having incredible combat. I haven't had a game impact me so personally in a long time, and I'm actually going as FemShep to MegaCon this year to commemorate it. Thanks again to you both. I should go.
Well, that was awesome. Thank you, Red Can Fly. I don't know if I agree with you about having incredible combat in the year of our Lord 2025, but obviously we love the game as well, and it must have made a huge impact on you if you only started playing in July 2025 and you're already going cosplaying as FemShep. So that's awesome. I hope the cosplay turns out great. You can drop some photos of that in the Robots Radio Discord on the Mass Effect Lorecast channel. We also have a couple of comments I wanted to highlight from our most recent episode on Spotify, The Keepers. So here's an interesting one from Haku X Tamari. Hopefully I said that correctly. As a housekeeper, I can relate to The Keepers. Ignored and underappreciated by tenants despite working to keep their workplaces clean, to using the disappeared ones for my ramen noodles. Sounds like it's a reference to that BioVat. Surprised you didn't mention the Shadowbroker feed in, I believe, Mass Effect 2, where we see a keeper leaving a Krogan corpse in the Citadel ramps. That is such a good call, Haku. Thank you for reminding me. I always blank about those tidbits and videos from Lair of the Shadowbroker. Haku says, still feel there's more to go over, but so good to see them discussed. Thank you for the comment there. And we have another great one from Shannon Moore Potter, who writes, if the Keepers were their own race that was conquered by the Reapers, and the Reapers make Reapers out of races they conquer, do you think there is a Keeper Reaper out there? somewhere. Possibly. Genesis and I were talking about this before the show. Those Reapers that walk around on four legs, like the first one we encounter on Earth in Mass Effect 3, and we got to shoot it with the cane, they look kind of Keeper-like.
Yeah, I tried to remember what this Reaper looked like, but I'm too worried about killing it rather than paying attention to what he looks like. So I, you know what? Oh, damn. I guess I'm just going to have to play through Mass Effect 3 again.
I'm going to have to twist her arm. All right. Well, thank you for those comments, guys. You're all amazing. That reading those is some of the highlight of my week. And Genesis, we got a sound effects voice line pop quiz. I think you got one for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I hear, or I see rather, the file. The sound file is just called Dancers. So we're going to play this one, and I got to guess where it's from, who said it, and when. All right. Here we go.
I guess the Asari are wishing they had fewer dancers and more commandos right about now.
Oh, wow. Okay, so that's Joker, clearly. I'm going to guess that this is while we are handling Thessia in Mass Effect 3.
Okay, I'll give it to you. It is the conversation that you have with Joker after returning from Thessia.
Yes, yeah, because he wouldn't say it beforehand, but yeah. So,
yeah.
All right. Awesome. Nice. And a really insensitive remark, honestly, from Joker.
Oh, yeah. No, it continues on. And he's like, Joker says, "Ooh, sorry, too soon." And then Renegade Shepherd rips into him like, "Of course it's too soon. We just lost millions of Asari." And then Joker's like, "Well, you know, I deal with pain and trauma through laughter and dark humor." So.
Yeah, I mean, that was a little bit in bad taste, though. Like, I like most of Joker's remarks, but that one has been bad taste.
Yeah. And then he goes off about how his sister's most likely dead and all that stuff. So he's like, "So I'm sorry if I have to laugh through the pain in order to keep going."
That's like not the only insensitive remark that Joker makes about Asari, right? I'm just going off the top of my head right now. I could have sworn that Joker makes another one, too. And Liara, like it's to Liara, maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, there's a couple of Joker moments where it's like, not quite sure how I feel about that line. And then the pressuring her to talk about her body in ways she's not comfortable with.
The head tentacles, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, Joker. I mean, Joker's got to get some sensitivity training.
Oh, I'm sure he'll love that.
Yep. Jinx. Anyway, thank you for the voice line. We have a new patron to shout out. Max Swagster. Sure. Thank you for signing up on the Patreon, Max Swagster. We also have our tier 5 patrons that we like to shout out every week. And those are William, Superfly, 440, Retrobot, Lieutenant Tosino, Kiracy, Edboy, and Day. Thank you all for your continued support of this show. We're going 5 years strong, actually in our 6th year now, and we have no signs of stopping thanks to people like you. And with that, let's get back to the rest of the show.
This is the new Weight Watchers, built for real life and real results, no matter what mode you're in. Maddie went all in for her big day and lost 33 pounds. Emily lost 85 pounds and hit her goal while still living her life.
Weight Watchers gave me the tools and I feel amazing.
Join the millions of members and lose weight with the number one doctor-recommended weight loss program. Lose more at WeightWatchers.com.
At 6 months, participants in a clinical trial of Weight Watchers program lost an average of 12 pounds.
After time adrift among open stars, along tides of light and through shoals of dust, I will return to where I began.
Salarian reproduction different, very little sex drive. If intended to try human, would try you.
Ow, my pancreas.
Okay, and here we are in the second half of the show. We've got this huge legal and political battle shaping up, centered on the debate of whether or not the president's last year of his term was legitimate because he was legally brain dead and uploaded to a VI software. I want to hear now we already heard from the petitioner's side. So that's the Speaker of the House, Lisa Ford's side. We heard from a witness from their side. But we haven't heard from the president's side, the witnesses for the president. But now that changes. We get an update. Expert witness Dr. Lin Shiyin testified in the Systems Alliance trial of Ford versus Huerta today. He claimed that the former president made a full recovery from a temporarily brain-dead state. Okay, so we're getting a direct contradiction from what we heard from Dr. Wacus. Stumbling a little when grilled on Huerta's timeline of cognition, Lin nevertheless made the case for Huerta being in full control once his motor functions and memory were assigned synthetic analogs. Okay, holy shit. So that means that they still have his brain in a body.
Yeah. No, so the way that I'm understanding this is that his consciousness was downloaded to the computer and then re-uploaded back into his own body. It's not like it's in a computer. It's not like it's got shifted to an android body or anything like that. They basically went, okay, I'm gonna pluck you out and then put you right back in. Hard reset.
Okay, that's interesting. Maybe I need to go back and reread it, but I had this mental image forming of like the President Eden in Fallout 3, where it's this brain in a jar of liquid, you know. So maybe I need to go back and reread that. But yeah, that's really interesting. Taking his brain, like his memories out of his brain, onto a computer, back into the brain once everything was okay. And can you imagine, like what if it just 100% is him? And you've got people like you're him. Imagine you're him and you've got people debating whether or not you're even alive now.
Yeah, that's where it's really weird. It's because it's like it's because it's this VI. There's now a VI aspect to it, because when he got uploaded to the computer, it's a VI that's running the artificial memories, or it's running these memories. And because we have the line here, this is not a person with a VI memory. It is a VI with a partially organic operating system. So that's what makes me think that it's back in his own human body.
That line right there, I question how that is quantified, right? So this is a doctor saying this. How are you coming to that determination, right? The first part about Dr. Wonka saying that the president was brain dead for too long to make a full recovery, I can understand how a doctor can make that judgment call based off of how long the president was brain dead and how long a human brain can survive like that, right? Before there's significant brain damage. Those are all quantifiable elements. What's not a quantifiable element is being able to say that the VI took over his brain so successfully that there's no Huerta anymore. How do you come to that? How is that qualifiable and how is it quantifiable? I cannot see, like, I can see someone making that judgment call, but they cannot affirm that with evidence, right? Like, how do you quantify that with evidence? You know, is there some kind of measurement that's being taken place that's concluding with this judgment? Because I don't think so. And because Dr. Wacus made this remark, it sounds like Dr. Wacus is also a political operative.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess this is where we would get into things like the Turing test and or from a game called Detroit Become Human, the Koenig test, where it's you're trying to figure out if these VIs, if these artificial intelligences are true intelligence or just a construct.
Yeah. it's a great, great question. I would love to know what kind of tests are being run. For now, though, we get a quote from Dr. Shiyin, the president's witness, who says, "To believe that he is now a different person, a synthetic, is to draw a line where no line is needed," he argued. "A new man did not appear on the table when the first open heart surgery was performed. His life was merely extended beyond what was thought possible at the time." Okay, so there's another piece of evidence that supports what you had thought about what was going on with his body, that he still has his original body, and that he's, like, the memories that were taken from his brain were put back into that original body. So I'm not sure if that changes how we think of this, about whether or not his term was legitimate or not. And moreover, if it does change how we thought about it, you know, like, as Retrobot here says, a pickle jar of president parts versus the president's brain was basically backed up on the cloud and then put back in his brain. Does the presence of the president's body change how we think about the legitimacy of his term? And if it does, perhaps we should ask ourselves why.
I agree. It blurs the lines a little bit, because if you are looking at somebody and, okay, that's Huerta, all I see is his body, I see his facial expressions, everything like that. I can hear the voice, I can witness the mannerisms that maybe made him unique, then I'm like, that is Huerta. But then if I were to learn all this stuff, that there's actually some VI controlling all of that, it brings into the question on whether or not he's still fully human.
I think that's fair. However, I think it also, like, I'm trying to think about this in purely scientific quantifiable terms, and yet there might not be any. The closest comparison that I think we can make is, let's suppose that President Huerta had, you know, he did have a stroke, and let's suppose that instead of his memories being extracted and put into a different brain, that his cognitive functions were not impaired, but his communicative ones were. So the president was left unable to speak, right? But motor functions there, everything else still there. As we know, being able to speak is kind of a key part of politics, right? Being a good orator. Would this argument still come up? I bet it would. I bet there would still be critics who say that's not actually the president.
That puts me personally in a very interesting situation. Somebody suffering from a stroke and can no longer speak, are they still who they are?
Right, and how do you verify it, and all this kind of different, overall, a very painful argument.
Yeah. I would just say that if there was none of this memory transfer stuff going on, absolutely, Huerta is still Huerta. Suffering a stroke, can no longer speak, can no longer talk, move, do any of that. Absolutely, that is still Huerta. It's just the aspect of the memory transfer that makes things a little bit more complicated.
Yeah. Regardless of the ethics of all of this, technologically speaking, it's quite impressive that they were able to essentially do dialysis with a brain.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's crazy. And I'm betting that this technology came from the virtual aliens. And that's the only reason that they were able to do it. And then, I mean,
that's interesting. Also, you go there with it. I was going somewhere else. I thought Cerberus.
See, and now knowing about the virtual aliens, I wonder if the elusive man got the technology from them.
Had perhaps an operative. Maybe those people who went in and got their brains turned into scrambled eggs, maybe they were Cerberus operatives. Maybe they weren't just random, you know, scavs.
The random hackers were not random. They were Cerberus agents. Damn.
That would check okay, out. That's totally Tim's prerogative right there.
Very much.
But so actually, Yukon Cornelius just brought up in chat, I didn't see this until now, brought up, you know, 2185 was the completion of Shepard's Lazarus project. Shepard took 2 years to resurrect, and that project completed the same year that the president was rebooted in under 2 hours. Was Cerberus behind the president's procedure using the knowledge gained from the Lazarus project? I can see them being consulted, but considering how many credits was spent just on the one project, of Lazarus.
But that was also reconstructing Shepherd's body. In this case, they don't have to reconstruct a body.
That's true. It would be a small part of the project. It would just be a much smaller scale. And Yukon brings up a great, great question. What is control of a sitting president worth?
Oh, God.
I don't know. I guess we could ask Vladimir Putin. Oops.
And on that note...
or perhaps Benjamin Netanyahu. Anyway, on that note, we should go to the next chapter of the President Huerta court case, because it sounds like the justices, I would assume they're justices, that this should be the highest court in the land, that they have made a decision about whether or not the last year of his term was legitimate given his stroke.
Yes. And it reads out that the controversial Earth court case of Ford versus Huerta came to a close today with a 5-4 decision supporting the end of the president's term. Chief Justice Ling announced, "This is not the first time human beings have technically died only to be brought back with proper medical attention. That the window of resuscitation has lengthened is no reason to support a partisan attack on the legitimacy of the president. The legal definition of death must be expanded beyond brain death to include cellular death as well."
Okay. Very fascinating. So the ramifications of this court case are not just affirming the legitimacy of the last year of his presidency, but also rewriting the legal definition of death entirely.
And I think it's good. Because you're right, especially with the medical technology, humans are living to be like 120 now in the time of Mass Effect, and sometimes beyond that. And there has to be something that we can quantify and say, like, this is what the definition of death means. And because, yeah, being brain dead or being in a long-term coma, being kept alive by a machine doesn't necessarily mean that you're dead now in this world of Mass Effect. There's more to it. I think it has to be that your heart can no longer support itself, your lungs are no longer supporting yourself, and your brain is no longer working. I think all of those things, and then cellular degeneration. Once you can draw blood and see that the blood vessels are slowly dying off and oxidizing, then that would be what it would be considered to be cellular death as well.
Wow. I also find it interesting that Chief Justice Ling here calls it a partisan attack on the legitimacy of the president. Instead of addressing whether or not the case had legal merit or legal standing, I should say, already dismissing the merit of it in the first sentence of this legal opinion. This is not the first time human beings have technically died, only to be brought back with proper medical attention. That is dismissing the legitimacy of the legal merit that this case has, that the petition has. And then the next sentence is immediately cutting it out under the knees by calling it a partisan attack. I wonder if Chief Justice Ling was appointed by President Huerta or President Huerta's party.
Mm-hmm. Probably.
And that goes into the legitimacy of the court. You know, does this court hold legitimacy in the minds of United North American state citizens?
Oh, I wish that we had more information, but we've really only got a couple more lines to go through on for this article, at least. But following the decision, protesters erupted into violence on the Washington, D.C. Mall and in Mexico City's Chapultepec Park. The crowds were chanting, "Down with the zombie." They were quickly suppressed as riot police cleared the capitals with microwaves and stunners.
Holy shit.
More pro.
Microwaves.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's like an EMP type thing. I doubt that they were, you know, carrying around a microwave and hitting the start button.
Right. No. I meant that they were using microwave radiation to clear the cat below. That's crazy. They could have also been using, not LADAR. I'm thinking of, there's this new crowd control technology that actually exists in our own world where it's essentially a giant sound cannon that shoots sound waves so jarring to the human ears and brain that people have no choice but to flee. It's honestly a terrifying invention, and it should be against the Geneva Conventions, in my opinion, especially using it on your own people. But anyway, if history has taught us anything, it's that that riot police clamping down on political protests like this is not going to work.
Nope, because already it states that more protests are reportedly planned for the weekend.
Oh,
because
yeah.
Because we riot.
Yes.
Oh, we riot.
As 3 Days Grace, I think, once said, let's start a riot.
As a native Portlandian, let's start a riot.
Yeah, hey, Seattle's right there, too. So who could have possibly foreseen that the masses may oversimplify the legal and ethical ramifications of a massive political scandal? Who could have foreseen this?
Yeah. Okay. So maybe, you know, down with the zombie and not looking into all of the aspects of it and only following what they see on social media rather than doing the true proper research to figure out their own opinions on things. Yeah, I could see that still happening in the future.
To me, it sounds like this is a good case as to why there should be, if there isn't already, there should be in the UNAS, there should be a snap election procedure where, because this is such an unusual circumstance, there should be a snap election where people are allowed their right to vote again. You know, do you want to keep President Huerta in office, or would you rather, you know, go a different route? Perhaps the other candidate is the next in line in succession, the vice president.
I really like that idea, giving the people the opportunity to re-vote, you know, because obviously this was 9 people making the decision. And I doubt that they looked to the representatives of the states or the countries, because now this is beyond just, you know, the North America itself, but to all of it. And figuring out if this is something that the people would want, because that's who the president is supposed to serve, the people. And we should have the right to vote on whether or not Huerta remained the president for the last year.
Yeah. And it's hard, right? Because there is this element of democracy that can go into mob rule. Simplifying this scandal could be weaponized by political opposition, right? Down with the zombie. Very catchy phrase. Dehumanizing at the best, and perhaps inaccurate, depending on what the truth of the matter is. Memory degradation, the degree of which that it happened, I think is the really critical detail. And the fact that the executive branch is being so opaque about it. I understand why for operational security purposes, you would do that. However, you know, I think legally speaking, the people of the UNAS have a right to know. They're paying Huerta's paycheck. They are allowing Huerta to represent them as the chief executive, they have a right to know. And so If I were a lawyer, right, I would make that case and say, you know, maybe I would appeal it and say, despite, you know, your ruling, I think the court needs to order a injunction that basically states, you know, we need this. Although that would have been decided far, far before any of this during discovery. So it's bonkers to me that the court would actually go ahead without having that fact, because from what I understand of court cases, the whole process is so anal about the list of facts that the entire case proceeds upon. Because if you don't have all the facts, then the ruling doesn't really matter. Anyway, this is a really interesting case. And the fact is that we're not even done talking about it yet, but we are done with this episode. So stick around. We're going to have a part two of this episode where we talk about all of the fallout that comes from this landmark legal case about not just the president and whether or not the remainder of his term was legitimate, but redefining the legal definition of death entirely. It's a huge, huge case. So that's all we got for this episode. I was going to say this week, but Genesis, we're recording this, and you know, as soon as we're done recording this one, we're recording another one on the second half. Do you have anything that you'd like to shout out? Any what games are you playing right now? Maybe we can talk about that instead.
I have been grinding it out in Final Fantasy X. It is one of my all-time favorite games, and I go back to it quite often. And I've been playing Cyberpunk again, running around as Toast V, and I think I'm ready to play some Mass Effect again, though. It's been a while since I've heard Caden's voice, and I need it.
I need to play the Phantom Liberty DLC. I still haven't played that.
Yes, you do.
Still haven't played Cyberpunk since 2.0 came out. I know. I really need to, but right now I am just so deep into Starfield. Starfield had its big update recently with the Free Lanes update and the Terran Armada DLC that came out. There's some new mods that I downloaded. I'm just having so much fun with Starfield. I know a lot of people like to dunk on it. I certainly have my own criticisms of it. I haven't been quiet about those either. However, I am having a lot of fun going back and playing it and playing in New Game Plus. So I have been all about that when I'm not playing Magic the Gathering. I've been telling you that we need to duel over Discord or something. And I've got my decks right here next to me, actually. And I just built a new one that I'm like psyched for. So I can't wait to play the new one that I've built. It's like a 5-color Super Friends deck. Very ambitious. Anyway, that's enough of the Magic the Gathering talk. You guys don't need to know how much of a nerd I am. But yeah, that's all we got for today. And you will also have the part two of this episode. We're going to upload them at the same time because I am going on vacation. So my family and I are going to Kansas. I'm going to be gone for like 5 days. And we did have to skip last week, so we wanted to double record this week for you guys. And next week, of course, is the patron chat. So
yes, lots of info.
So much housekeeping stuff. Okay. We've got part two. Take care, Spectres.
Thanks for listening to the Mass Effect Lorecast. Reach out to us on Blue Sky, Twitter, Discord, Patreon, or email us at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Join us next week for more lore. Same space, same time. Or check out our live streams at twitch.tv/masseffectlorecast.